is no need to be concerned about Ebola or other infections in America because the vaccine companies can always and instantly create a new vaccine that works 100% of the time with zero side effects. 37 lies that Americans tell themselves. The only way to prevent infectious disease is with a vaccine. Vitamin D and healthy immune support have nothing to do with it. 37 lies that Americans tell themselves. Hello everyone and welcome back to Illuminated Darkness. We're still taking a look at COVID-19 and I'm adding a second look into the New World Order. Could this be that the elite is making their move? Now I know I said last time that I didn't think the government had anything to do with it, but as I continue to research and dig deeper, I'm starting to think that was a premature statement. So we will continue to take a look, and this is really going to get a bit big. And it's going to get out there, so stay with me because this is really going to knock your Aunt Connie's socks off. To tell the truth, I'm starting to think we're being distracted from something really big. But because there's so much information and so much more information to go through, like I said, this will be more than one part. So it appears the deeper I dig, the further down the rabbit hole we go. We've only scratched the surface of the plans of the NWO. They didn't just change your behavior. They changed your minds. Overnight, you began distrusting your family man and began trusting the government to keep you safe, to keep you informed, to trade your liberties for the false sense of security. You allowed your loved ones to die alone in a hospital under the mandate of the greater good. You allowed businesses to shut down and people to give up their paychecks as they huddled in their homes under the mandate of the greater good. There is no freedom, but they used fear to separate you, to isolate you. You believed it, and you allowed it. False flag. A horrific staged event blamed on every political enemy and used to as a pretext to start a war or enact draconian laws in the name of national security. Operation Mockingbird. An alleged large-scale CIA program that began in the early 1950s in an attempt to manipulate the news media for propaganda purposes. Operation Hot Musket. U.S. troops called from duties abroad to return to the U.S. for a domestic assignment. Possibly the beginning of martial law. So let's ask some basic questions. Why do they want you locked inside? Why do they want you to panic? Why do they want you to live in fear? Why is the media banning anyone who challenges the COVID-19 narrative? And who benefits the most? So let me ask this question. Am I the only one that's a little miffed that we didn't get any zombies out of this pandemic? Come on, don't be shy. You can tell me the truth. But then again, depending on how you look at it, we did get some pretty damn stupid people out of it. Hoarding hand sanitizer, toilet paper, Lysol, and Clorox wipes. When people ask me what I went to the store for, I had an easy answer. Invested all in ammunition, canned goods, and bottled water. Now, I digress. For a while, many states, and they all relied on or submitted to Johns Hopkins University, the World Health Organization, and some other people who were just bored to tears, have created virus statistic maps. I've posted these links on our Facebook, but I got one question. Can someone explain to me why in the hell there's a difference in all the fucking numbers? One said, for example, that there were 6,197 confirmed cases, and another one said there were 189,000 confirmed cases. Why the difference? Now, granted, I know they all update at the same at different times, but where the hell is their information coming from? Johns Hopkins and the WHO had a minimal amount of distance. So where are these numbers coming from? What is it, the Ouija board school of infectious diseases? I get there's a different way of doing math these days, but if this is the new math, I'm fucked. Oh my God, the governor of my state has activated the National Guard. It's martial law. Shut the fuck up before I slap you in your face hole. Don't stress until you see them walking up and down the streets with gas masks and M4s. National Guard has been activated in most states to assist in food banks with distribution and packaging. If you see tents outside your local hospital, they're not for isolation, it's testing purposes. And the National Guard are there, they're directing traffic. If that line would move like the line at Chick-fil-A and not at McDonald's, trust me, we'd been tested in a week. Now, I did, a while back, catch wind that there was National Guard staging area near my house in the parking lot at a theme park. I went over under the cover of darkness, camera in hand, and guess what I found? Nothing. An empty, dark parking lot. No trucks, no tanks, no tents, no troops, no weapons. It was paranoia and myth debunked. If you go to our video library on Facebook, you can see the video clip. As for the huge Army field hospitals to deal with the number of sick people, yeah, those have closed and torn down. They were not needed. Why? Because the media loves to get people all paranoid. And it looks good come awards time. How many patients did those tent hospitals treat? None. Not one patient. Now, there is one thing I have found out. Hospitals have started going through records, and if you came in at the beginning of the outbreak and matched the specific criteria, you were classified as having COVID. Why? Follow the money. The number of COVID cases a hospital can suck out is the amount... One thing that somebody sent to me a while back is hospitals were going through their records of people that came in at the beginning of the outbreak. And if these patients seen met a certain criteria, they were listed as having COVID. Why is this happening? Like I've told you on several other things, follow the money. It'll increase the amount of money the hospital can suck out of the government. I received this information from a CI, you know, confidential informant. And I don't care how many times you ask me or what you promise to give me, I'm not giving my informant up. So there, live with it. Then again, they're finally admitting that they're padding the numbers, cooking the books, and make it all look like it was worse than it really was. Now, in the thick of this outbreak, they wanted us to stay 6 feet away from each other, and they still do. They didn't want me to take my entire family to the store with me. They didn't want us to go to church services. The list is on and on and on and on. Well, yeah, health officials don't want you to do that because they were trying to prevent the spread of the so-called virus. Supposedly, this thing would jump from person to person like fleas from dog to dog. They were asking for basic shit again. The washing of the hands, the no touching of the face, but can they really stop us from going to church? Actually, yeah, they could. The Board of Health in your state or county could come and chain the doors. There was a news story floating around the internet a while back, and it was out of Florida. Everything comes out of Florida. That there had been an arrest warrant issued for a pastor that refused to close his church. In my area, there was a church that refused to close as well. I don't agree with it. Far from it. It's a matter of public health. But like I said in my live stream, if this thing was killing grandmothers and virgins, people would have been tripping all over themselves to do whatever it took to prevent the spread of the virus. But sadly, so many in the world population are so self-centered, they only think about themselves. While we're on the topic of shelter in place and stay at home and avoid contact, they're just requests. It's no different than if it was a huge snowstorm and the roads were bad. This isn't a lockdown or a quarantine. If it was one of those two things, then you would be getting ticketed or arrested every time you walked out your front door. Now granted, some states have overstepped and are issuing tickets to people for violating the orders. Think back to the movie Outbreak with Dustin Hoffman, Rene Russo, and Morgan Freeman. If this was, in fact, a quarantine situation, you would see the military come into your town, and anyone showing even the slightest symptom would be rounded up and taken to a FEMA camp where they are tested for everything. And if they died, they died. The body doesn't go to a funeral home or back to the family. Your loved one is zipped into a body bag or wrapped in plastic or shoved in a hefty bag and either tossed into a mass grave that has been dusted with lime after each layer of bodies, and that's the end of it, or they're bagged, tagged, and tossed into a burn pit with the rest of the poor unfortunate souls to prevent further spread. So why are so many screaming for the government to save them? Do they not realize that this is what could end up happening? Now, granted, Some states have their 3, 4, 5 phase plan to reopening, and we're at the point now where they're starting to reopen. And the protesters gathered demanding the reopen. But like what happened in Ohio, they can say one thing one day, change it in the dead of night when the masses have been lulled to sleep by the false promises of safety and security. All right, children, gather round for a little science. The human coronavirus was first discovered in the 1960s, and there are 4 subgroups of virus classification: alpha, beta, gamma, and delta. The virus itself was named for its crown-like spikes, and for those of you who don't know Latin, corona is Latin for crown, not Spanish for beer. Now we'll break down the classifications. Alpha, the human variants of the virus, 229E and NL63 both have conditions associated with them. Human coronavirus 229E is the common cold, and human coronavirus NL63 produces mild to moderate upper respiratory infections, severe lower respiratory infections, croup, and bronchitis. NL63 is also commonly found in the young, the elderly, and the immunocompromised patients with acute respiratory illnesses such as asthma, COPD, and emphysema. The alpha classification of the virus can be found primarily in the bat gene pool. Beta, with its human variants of the virus, OC43 and HKU1. Human coronavirus OC43 is the common cold. Human coronavirus HKU1 is the common cold, pneumonia, and bronchitis. These beta classifications, again, can primarily be found in the bat gene pool. There is also MERS-COVID, which causes the Middle East Respiratory Syndrome. This virus was first seen in 2012, and it can infect bats, camels, and humans. SARS-COVID hadn't been seen since 2004. However, the evolved strain of this virus, SARS-CoV-2, is currently what's giving us grief. Gamma and Delta variants are commonly found in the avian or bird and swine gene pools. So there is the virology. Now let's look at the vaccines. It can take up to 10 to 15 years for a vaccine to clear development, testing, and regulation. And you expect me to believe that when TechCrunch published their article on the 16th of March of this year with the headline, "First U.S. Clinical Human Trial of Potential Corona Vaccine Set to Start Monday," that Monday would have been the 23rd of March. So they're telling us that the exploratory stage of 2 to 4 years to identify natural and synthetic antigens has been done. The preclinical stage, which consists of testing on animals and tissue or cell system clusters, has been done. The IND application has been submitted to the FDA, and the FDA has used their 30-day window to approve the application. Really? After reading it, I can tell you that they may have skipped the first part. They haven't looked for any type of antigen to prevent or treat. They've skipped right to the genetic engineering. This possible vaccine uses RNA to trigger the desired immune response. Now, back in the day, vaccines were made from weakened or dead cultures of viruses. This gave the immune system something to practice on, kind of like a live fire exercise. Now let's look at the anatomy of the coronavirus. The spikes on the virus are proteins. Then there's a fat membrane or lipid membrane. And in the center, encapsulated in even more protein and fat, is the genetic code of the virus, the RNA. Now, what is to stop the RNA from the vaccine from rewriting the DNA in other cells? How is the RNA vaccine supposed to break through the shell of lipids and proteins to get to the virus RNA? No one has an answer for that. Bottom line, I don't trust anything that is labeled "trigger the desired response." Now, after digging deeper on the vaccine front, I found a ton of information. There are several different vaccine technology platforms. You've got your nucleic acid, that's the RNA and the DNA. Viral vectors, virus-like particles involved in DNA replication. The use of dead or weakened cells. Now, with that being said, there are questions that need to be answered during the vaccine development. is the disease seasonal or weather dependent? How many people who never get symptoms have enough of the virus to infect others? What about the people who are recovered? Do they have some residual virus left? Are they infectious? Why do young people have a lower risk of becoming seriously ill when they get infected? Which activities cause the most risk of infection? Who is the most susceptible to disease? Now, currently, there are numerous candidates in the different phases of the trials. Let's take a look at how the different phases of vaccine trials actually work. So, in looking at the vaccine trials, there are four phases. Phase one might involve forming two groups from the target population. For example, a set of trial subjects, and each subject may be randomly assigned to receive a new vaccine or a control treatment. And the control treatment is normally a placebo or something else that is intended to protect against a different pathogen. After the administration of the vaccine or the placebo, researchers collect data on antibody production, health outcomes such as illness due to the targeted infection or another infection. The data is then summarized as a statistic, which is used to estimate the protective ability of the vaccine. Now, following the trial protocol, the specified statistical test is performed to gauge the statistical significance of the observed differences in the outcomes between the treatment and control groups. Side effects of the vaccine are also noted. These two contribute to the decision as to whether or not we're going to license it. One very typical version of phase one studies in the vaccine involves an escalation study, which is used in mainly medical research trials. The drug's introduced to a small group of healthy volunteers. Vaccine escalation studies aim to minimize the chances of serious adverse effects by slowly increasing the drug dose frequency. First level of an escalation study usually has 2 to 3 groups of around 10 healthy volunteers. Each subgroup receives the same vaccine dose, which is the expected lower dose necessary to invoke an immune response. The main goal of a vaccine is to create immunity. New subgroups can be added to the experiment with a different dosing regimen, as long as the previous subgroup did not experience any adverse effects. There are variations in the vaccination order that can be used for different studies. For example, the first subgroup can complete the entire regime before the second subgroup starts, or the second can begin before the first one ends, so long as there were not any severe adverse effects detected. The vaccine schedule will vary depending on the nature of the drug, i.e., the need for a booster or several doses over the course of a short time period. Escalation studies are ideal for minimizing severe adverse effects that could occur with less controlled and divided protocols. Phase 2 of the trials, or the transition to Phase 2, will rely on the immunologic and toxicity results from Phase 1 and the small cohort of healthy volunteers. Phase 2 will consist of more healthy volunteers in the vaccine target population. Could be hundreds of people. This will determine reactions in a more diverse set of humans and test different schedules. Phase 3 will continue to monitor toxicity and immunological response and severe adverse effects on a much larger scale. The vaccine must be shown to be safe and effective in natural disease conditions before being submitted for approval to the and then general production. In the U.S., the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, is responsible for approving vaccines. Phase 4 trials typically monitor stages that collect information continuously on vaccine usage, adverse effects, and long-term immunity. Now, of all the vaccine candidates, every single one has a 9 to 36 month proposed timeline for phase 1 alone. With that being said, any vaccine that's on the accelerated timeline of 12 to 18 months may or may not be safe. DNA-based vaccinations have only been approved in veterinary applications. They have not been approved for human use. There's something to think about. Okay, now we got some treatment options for those that have been effective. There's been a lot of talk of combination of drugs, and the one that has gotten the most attention, both good, bad, and indifferent, is hydroxychloroquine, and azithromycin combination. Reports vary from yes, it works, to no, it doesn't. There was a case where a man drank fish tank or koi pond cleaner because it listed chloroquine phosphate as an active ingredient. Apparently, he didn't read where the other active ingredients were toxic to humans. And since that's been reported, they're now saying his wife is under investigation for killing him. As Goofy would say, something wrong here. Now, currently, hydroxychloroquine is indicated for the treatment of malaria, rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, and porphyria. Chloroquine is indicated for the treatment of malaria, amoebic dysentery, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. How these medications work. Hydroxychloroquine regulates the activity of the immune system and inhibits protein synthesis in susceptible organisms by inhibiting the DNA and RNA polymerase. Chloroquine inhibits protein synthesis in susceptible organisms by inhibiting the DNA and RNA polymerase. As a side note, antiviral medications do not deactivate or destroy the microbes, but act by inhibiting replication. In this, they prevent the viral load from increasing to a point where it could cause pathogenesis and allowing the body's innate immune system to neutralize the virus. Azithromycin, or Z-Pak, also inhibits protein synthesis. Now I know what you're saying. I'm not a doctor. Explain it to me. Well, calm down, Karen, because here come the crayons. Time for a little bit of basic biology, children. Viruses are not living cells. They're protein or protein and lipid-coated strands of DNA or RNA. Unlike living cells that can divide and reproduce on their own, viruses need another cell to reproduce. So the virus is just floating through an organism it's just come into contact with, and it looks for a nice place to reproduce. It attaches to a specific location on the cell and begins to break through the proteins on the host cell. Once it's done that, it ejects its genetic material into the cell. The genetic material basically overwrites the DNA of the host cell, and replication begins. The host cell is now basically a factory. The proteins and the genetic code of the virus begin to replicate. And once the host cell can no longer hold any more copies of the new cell, the cell wall ruptures and the virus is released, unleashing other viruses to find other host cells and begin the process all over again. What antiviral medications do, they prevent the host cells from reproducing the necessary proteins needed by the virus. It doesn't kill it. It slows it down, gives the immune system time to go, hey, we got an uninvited party here. Mobilize, kick its ass, dead, done, over. It's basically your hydroxychloroquine, and the Z-Pak are basically viral birth control. They control reproduction in a virus. Now, we've got the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation fucking involved in this shit. Bill Gates couldn't even design an operating system to be virus resistant. And how in the actual fuck do you expect me to trust him with my body? No. Go do what you do best, Bill. Steal and count money. The foundation was launched in the year 2000, and they have over 46.8 billion, that's billion with a B, dollars in holdings. In the last 20 years, the foundation has donated to numerous causes. And some of these causes can tell you why Gates has a vested interest in vaccine production. Some of his causes have been infectious disease control, reproductive health, family planning, the World Health Organization, PATH Vaccine Solutions, Johns Hopkins University, Clinton Health Access Initiative Incorporated, and Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness Innovations. Well, anything with the Clinton name involved, I'm definitely not involved. Now, there are two drug companies that are working on a vaccine. Both of them claim they're ready for clinical trials, which means they've already come through the first phase of the process of looking for antigens. However, they have managed to skip this step by using a genetically engineered strands of genetic information to inject. DNA vaccines, like I said, are available for veterinary medicine, but for those of you playing the home game, it means your dog can get a shot using DNA medicine, but you can't. The method, again, has not been approved. One of the companies, Envio, stated they began working with MERS-COVID and the test showed promising results and high levels of antibodies produced in the subjects that persisted for an extended period of time. Okay, that's nice. Envio has been able to ramp up everything because of, you guessed it, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. But we're still looking 12 to 18 months before it's even considered ready for human use. Add to that, Gates and Fauci want everyone to have a digital certificate as proof of vaccination. Okay, children, that's called an RFID chip, and that's a negative Ghost Rider. Call it what you will. Mark of the Beast, whatever. Bottom line, Hitler used ID numbers to track the Jews and catalog them. It's a method of keeping track of every man, woman, and child on the face of the planet. They want us to have proof of vaccination, but voter ID's racist. Figure that shit out on your own. There's a plot to destroy this country to But how does the Gates Foundation fit? Aren't they doing good by giving money to research? The president of the United States, cut off the WHO and said the U.S. will not participate in anything the WHO does. Well, yeah, two words. Population control. But Snoop said, I trust Snoop's about as much as I trust Tapwater in Flint, Michigan, and Hillary Clinton. There are other methods of population control, and if you listen close, you'll notice we use all of them. Contraception, abstinence, abortion, immigration, decreasing immigration, starvation, famine, pestilence, plague, war, target sterilization, environmental manipulation, GMOs, same-sex relationships, and transhumanism. So, they're wanting to control the population, and population control is a goal of the New World Order. So how does this break down and fit into the New World Order? To find that answer, we look no further than Agenda 21, or now Agenda 2030. I touched on this during our New World Order Illuminati episode. The New World Order is making an attempt to So how does this fit into the New World Order? To find your answer, we look no further than Agenda 21 or Agenda 2030. I touched on this during our New World Order Illuminati episode. The New World Order is making an attempt to take over, and that is Agenda 21. This is something you can look up and research for yourself, and I encourage you to research everything I present to you and form your own opinion. Agenda 2030 is being released as a replacement for Agenda 21. The United Nations calls it a universal agenda for humanity. At first glance, it looks like a wonderful plan, but let's look deeper. Originally, Agenda 21 focused on environmental issues. It has since evolved to Agenda 2030, and the goals of this agenda read like proposed laws of the New World Order and some of what's written on the Georgia Guidestones, which we also covered in our Illuminati episode. Let's take a look at this. Keep in mind, mainstream media has pretty much ignored it or has been told to not report on Agenda 2030, as this is the UN's plan to transform our world for the better by 2030. Goal 1, end poverty in all its forms everywhere. Goal 2, end hunger, feed food security and improve nutrition and promote stability. Goal 3, endure healthy lives and promote well-being for all ages. Goal 4, ensure inclusive and equitable quality education and promote lifelong learning opportunities for all. Goal 5, achieve gender equality and empower all women and girls. Goal 6, ensure availability and sustainable management of water and sanitation for all. 7, endure access to affordable, reliable, and sustainable and modern energy for all. 8, promote sustained, inclusive, and sustainable economic growth, full and productive employment, and decent work for all. 9, build resilient infrastructure, promote inclusive and sustainable industrialization, and foster innovation. 10, reduce inequality within and among countries. 11, make cities and human settlements safe, inclusive, resilient, and sustainable. 12, ensure sustainable consumption and production patterns. 13, take urgent action to combat climate change and its impacts. 14, conserve and sustainable use of the oceans, seas, and marine resources for sustainable development. 15, protect, restore, and promote sustainable use of terrestrial ecosystems, sustainability, manage forests for combat deforestation, and halt and reverse land degradation and halt biodiversity loss. 16, promote peaceful and inclusive societies for sustainable development, provide access to justice for all, and build effective, accountable, and inclusive institutions at all levels. 17, strengthen the means of implementation and revitalize global partnerships for sustainable development. Now, we all remember the little rat-faced girl, Greta Hitler, some shit like that, from somewhere over in Europe, screaming and crying about climate change. And we all know AOC, who cannot tell the difference between her ass and a whiskey glass, and her new Green Deal. And now suddenly we had the shelter-in-place orders, and the Hollywood elite are tweeting from their homes high atop the hilltops of Los Angeles, showing us the skyline because the smog is gone and it's visible again. Well, duh. No one's fucking going anywhere. No one's driving. And in that, the atmosphere's cleaning itself up. The two events people bitching and crying about, and all of a sudden, COVID infections happen, and now the air is clean. But let's look at one thing. Prior to this, back in January, protesters in Iran, China, and France, they unleashed the COVID and everybody went home. It's kind of like the old John Wayne movie. Hey, McClintock, great party. Where's the whiskey? Release the virus. Hey, McClintock, whiskey all gone. We go home now. Funny how some things work out like that, isn't it? Now, who's to blame? As I said in our live stream, it wasn't Trump going, oh shit, impeachment, release the corona. Because, let's face facts, Pence is not the sharpest knife in the drawer. He'd have ran down to the Speedway and bought a case of beer. As a matter of fact, there is a timeline. Now keep in mind, Facebook's fact checkers have called it false. But then again, anything that doesn't fit Facebook's liberal narrative or pisses somebody off is labeled as fake. So now we're going to look at this timeline. January 6th, the CDC issues a travel advisory for Wuhan. January 11th, the CDC tweets about corona-related pneumonia outbreak in China. January 14th, the World Health Organization tweets that there is no evidence of human-to-human transmission. January 16th, Trump impeachment trial begins. January 17th, the CDC starts doing health screenings at 3 airports of travelers from China. On the 21st of January, we have the first U.S. case for someone who traveled directly from Wuhan. On January 23rd, the WHO again says no human-to-human transmission outside of China. 4 days later, on the 27th of January, the WHO raises the alert level but still says China has it contained. On the 28th of January, the CDC states, while CDC considers COVID a serious situation and is taking preparedness measures, the immediate risk in the U.S. is considered low. On the 29th of January, the White House announces a coronavirus task force has been created. Now keep in mind, this is despite the WHO downplaying the threat. On January 31st, Trump bans travel from China, and the media and multiple Democrats lose their shit and say he's being racist and xenophobic. On the 5th of February, Trump was acquitted. Also on the 5th of February, Chuck Schumer, in a tweet, continues to call Trump's travel ban from China premature and racist. Now, wait a minute. A month prior to that, the CDC issued a travel warning. Really, Chucky? On the 7th of February, the White House's coronavirus task force gives a press briefing. On the 9th of February, the coronavirus task force meets with all the governors regarding the virus. February 12th, the CDC is waiting for approval from the Chinese to send a CDC team to China. February 18th, the Health and Human Services announced a partnership to develop a vaccine. February 21st, Italy identifies its very first case in their country. February 21st, CDC tweets that it's working with the states for preparedness. February 24th, Trump sends a letter to Congress asking for $25 billion for virus effort. Also on February 24th, Nancy Pelosi made a stop in Chinatown and encouraged people to please come and visit and enjoy Chinatown. Okay. On February 25th, there's still no reported community spread in the U.S., and that's per a tweet from the CDC. On February 27th, first community transmission in the U.S. Also on February 27th, Trump appoints Pence to coordinate efforts. On February 29th, the first COVID-19 reported death occurred in the U.S. And on March 4th, Democrats slammed the president for not doing enough fast enough. It's helpful when we look at this timeline, and I have dug through Twitter and found all of the tweets and matched them. All of this happened before the first death. Like I said, I got most of this from the CDC's Twitter page, and you can look it up if you want for accuracy. There were a lot more actions in between. I just took the highlights. Trump announces there's two medications that could really help battle the virus, and Democrats and the media immediately attack him, calling him irresponsible, accusing him of giving people false hope, and starting to claim nothing has been approved to treat the virus. Fast forward 6 days, and New York Governor Cuomo says the exact same thing the president says. There are true drugs they will start trying to treat this virus with. Suddenly, the Democrats and the media are all saying what great leadership looks like because it was said by Cuomo. They have no shame, no credibility, or any resemblance of integrity within them. All that matters to them, it seems, is to attack Trump and the conservatives. The Democrats fought to include millions of spending in the relief bill that had nothing to do with helping those who need help immediately. Now, in parts 2 and 3 of the relief bill, they're trying to do more of the same, all while pointing fingers at the president when he and the Senate refused to sign due to the strain on the economy with all the wasteful spending the Democrats have insisted on adding. Now, am I the only one that has noticed that all of this is happening during an election year? What the fuck are they hiding? Honestly, there's got to be something going on. Because if you look at other pandemics of the last 20 years and presidential elections of the last 20 years, the so-called outbreaks either happen right before or right after the election or swearing in of the president or before the election. When the seats are coming available in the House and Senate, keep in mind, people are going to say, oh, that never happened. I'm calling bullshit on that. The timeline is too neat and too clean. So let's take a look at this timeline, shall we? In the year 2000, George W. Bush was elected to presidency. In 2001, there was an anthrax attack. But that was terrorist! Shut the fuck up. I should smack you right in your fucking face hole. That shit was sent through the U.S. mail, and it was traced to local addresses. In 2020, there was West Nile. But that was mosquitoes. Again, shut the fuck up. Nanotechnology. They can make a drone the size of a pubic hair that can carry the virus. But I'm a nice person. I'll let you have your mosquito theory. In 2003, we had SARS. In 2004, G-Dub was reelected. But in 2005, we caught the bird flu, H5N1. Yeah, that didn't go according to plan. In 2006, we caught E. coli, but antibiotics took care of that. In 2008, Bomber was elected. And in 2009, we caught H1N1, the swine flu. Yeah, we got swindled. That's a swindle flu. 59 million cases in the U.S. alone. 265,000 hospitalizations in the U.S. 12,000 dead in the U.S. And what did we do? Did we close anything down? No. Did we have a social distancing? No. Did we have shelter in place and stay at home? No. Did we hold daily press conferences? No. Did we have a stimulus package? No. Did we have to wear masks and social distance? No. We went and played golf for the media, and the media, for the most part, ignored the virus. Bomber got reelected in 12, and starting in 14 and going all the way to 16, we caught Ebola again, but only one person died. Now we come to 2016, and the man they said could not win won, and everyone lost their shit. There became a new primary goal: get rid of him. In 2019, we caught the measles again, but that's because nobody wants to vaccinate. And personally, I can respect that. That's your choice. But it didn't take off like they wanted it. We have a vaccine and treatment for that. So, in 2020, election year, we have a virus that could shut us down for a long time. And as I've said, it's too clean, too neat, too according to plan. We've already examined that timeline. Bottom line, this outbreak, pandemic, whatever you want to call it, is looking more like a false flag operation every day. Wait, what? You don't know what a false flag operation is? Well, children, let me enlighten you. A false flag operation is a horrific staged event beamed on a political enemy and used as a pretext to start a war or enact draconian laws in the name of national security. Now, for you, those of you playing the home edition of How My Government Fucks Me on a Daily Basis. And the definition of draconian laws? Excessively harsh or severe. Now, how do we spot a false flag operation? Well, the warning signs are very simple. Immediate national news coverage. Political agenda. Incident that inspires intense emotion. Initial media stories conflict the original stories and the official stories. No one's allowed to see the dead bodies. Similar drills are held nearby. Mainstream media manipulation tactics, and federal government attention. But wait, there wasn't any drills, was there? Oh, yes, sir, there was. Prior to the coronavirus outbreak, the Johns Hopkins Center for Security, the World Economic Forum, and you guessed it, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation hosted a high-level global pandemic exercise called Event 201 in October of 2019. Which specifically focused on a coronavirus pandemic. The invitation-only exercise projected economic and societal consequences along with mass casualties. And a few months later, thousands would be dead and millions would be sick. So check this out. I went over bioweapons in the live stream. And bioweapons still exist. We're going to cover that in our next episode. But we're going to glance over it real quick. This is kind of a preview. Some agents that have been weaponized. Now, check this out. This is one of the things that I went over in our live stream, and we're going to glance over it. This is a preview for next time. Some of the things that have been weaponized to be used as biological weapons are anthrax, rabbit fever, brucellosis, Q fever, botulism, and staphylococcal extratoxin B. I'm sorry, I'm not a doctor. And all of these have been weaponized. Surprise! Your government at work. Now, don't throw at me the Geneva Convention or the Biological Weapons Convention. Because in our next episode, when we go over that, you're going to be blown away. That's as far as we're going today. We're going to take a break, let our brains rest, and take time to process. With all this going on, everything keeps linking back to this pandemic, and there is so much more information for me to dig through and process. But fear not, my friends, we're going to ride this one out together. Until we meet again, stay healthy, keep your eyes and your mind open, and like always, try to stay out of the darkness. We'll be right back.
you didn't like school.